Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. Glad you could be with us here today. We are midway through the book of Judges, probably a little more than that, almost to the end of the book of Judges. One of my favorite books. So many things in the book of Judges that pertain to your life right now. You didn't think you could get anything from the Old Testament, huh? The Testament's very important. You know, how to live your life, not so much by the law. So you don't want to live your life by the law, especially if you have accepted Jesus Christ. You live one iota by the law after accepting Christ. The Bible says you must keep it all. We all know that was impossible. Only one man ever accomplished that. The Son of God himself. So, we've come a long way from the beginning. We found out this is not the first time around for this world. It's at least the second one. And we found out there were two children in the womb of Eve. Both of them had different fathers. Believe it or not, it's right there in black and white. But religion softened it up. They didn't want you to notice. And if you read this book in its entirety and you analyze everything, you'll see that science and the Bible fit together like a glove. Yes, those fossils are millions of years old because this earth was here. An entire civilization had grown up. Great cities. We don't know how far advanced they were, but there are artifacts thousands of years old that are exact little detailed replicas of aircraft. You know, there are 1,000 ton blocks that are cut so precise and put together so perfectly and moved from hundreds of miles away and placed there that we cannot do today with all of our modern technology, the biggest cranes that we have. We cannot accomplish that feat. There is so much more in here than you have been led to believe. Satan has a reason to keep this book from being read in its entirety, because he wants science and the Bible to contradict each other. And right now, mainstream Christianity is all about that. Oh no, we've only been here for less than 10,000 years. All these fossils were caused by the flood. There were dinosaurs on the ark. It's absolute insanity. Yes, those fossils are millions of years old, but they were here at the first world. At least the first world. Jeremiah tells us this was done at least once. And the first time or the second time, I'm not sure. God flooded the earth. I'm going to say the first time. He put the sun out. He didn't do that in Noah's flood. And then eons later, he lit it up again and started over. Two accounts of creation in Genesis. On the sixth day, God created man, male and female, in his image created he them. And said, go and replenish the earth. Put back the people that were here before. Then he rested on the seventh day. And there's a gap there. We don't know how long a time it was. Could have been thousands of years. Could have been hundreds of years. Then God says, I have no man to tend my garden. The Garden of Eden was his temple here on earth. Jeremiah said it was all torn down and become a wilderness after the first flood. So he created a priest line, Adam. Adam was never meant to procreate. He was meant to be God's priest to tend the garden. And there is evidence of who might have done that the first time around, the ancient cherub. The serpent, who was in the garden already. The Bible makes mention of he tended the beautiful place. You know, that's what Jeremiah calls it, the beautiful place. So Adam, our second priest, put in the garden when God formed him sometime after the seventh day. Says he created him out of the dust of the earth and breathed life into him. He doesn't say that about the first two that he created. And it's very interesting that he says, created him male and female and called their name Adam. their name, Adam. And then sometime later, we don't know how long, could have been hundreds of years or thousands of years, he took Eve out of Adam. Same DNA. Took the DNA material, made a new one, put him in a deep sleep, probably 13 to 30 years, grew a woman. He didn't put a baby in front of him, a full-grown woman, probably of the same age he was at that time. Said, here, here's your helpmate. Same DNA. He took the rib. He made the woman from the rib. Oh, yeah. That ties in with science, too. We can trace everyone back. One man, one woman. Yes, either one you trace back, you find the other. The same DNA. Make a long story short, God said to Abraham, I make a covenant with you. And he did not hand him the Ten Commandments. That was not the first covenant. Tell your pastor that. He can bring his pitchfork and torch to my studio if he wants. The first covenant was, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. One is for the spirit man to subdue this flesh and mind. The Bible says the mind of man is contrary to the will of God. The flesh is an abomination. I place the spirit inside the heart of man so that he can subjugate the mind and bring this flesh under subjection and point it toward God. Follow me with all your heart. And circumcise your children is an outward worldly expression of I belong to God. So they couldn't do that. It was too easy, just like in the garden. You know what? You guys frolic around. Do whatever you want. Just don't eat of that one tree. 57,000 other trees in this garden. Don't eat of that one tree. What'd they do? They trailer parked the place up. Just had to do it. Disobedience. It's the only sin in this Bible. You can call it whatever you want by 100 different names. It all amounts to disobedience. It's the only sin there is. You disobey God. You become unclean and unholy. So, they couldn't do it the easy way, so God piled the law on the children of Israel when they left Egypt. They proved to him in a matter of 39 and a half seconds when he brought them out of Egypt by all his mighty hand. They proved to him in a matter of minutes that they'd follow him one day and not the next. One day, yes. Next day, no. Oh, he feeds us. It just rains from heaven. Oh, but there's no more water. We're all going to die. Let's go back. Such disobedience, such doubt, no faith, lack of faith. And all God wants is your heart. He doesn't want your money. He has your heart. He has your time. He has your time. He has your allegiance. That's all he wants. So he brought them out. He piled the law on them so one day they would cry out for the simplicity of the first covenant again, which the Messiah brought back. Jesus Christ says, follow me with all your heart and be baptized. One is the spirit man following after God. The other is a secular thing, a carnal outwardly expression that, yes, I follow Jesus. And if you do this, Paul says, all things in Christ are legal again for the Christian, like they were for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All things are legal, not all things are good. Some things are okay for some Christians, some things are not okay for other Christians. Dare not you judge your fellow Christian. You don't know what his father has told him is okay for him. You know, drinking is not okay for you because it wrecks your life. This man over here may have some self-control where that aspect is. The Bible never said, thou shalt not drink. The Bible said, if you are a drunk, you're a fool. Many, many other things some Christians can handle, some Christians cannot. It's all about following God with all your heart, and he will let you know what is good for you. You know, I met a pastor in the Bikers for Christ once. These are one percenters. He was tattooed over 95% of his body. I would only guess from what I could see, you know, through the clothing. But this guy, if you met him in an alley, you would probably fear for your life. And I said, you know, I made a little bit of a friendship with him. I said, how? And I was probably a little skeptical at the time. How Can you be this and be a pastor of God, following Jesus Christ? He said, Dave, it's a long story, but I'll tell you like this. He said, God painted me like this because I can go in places now that if you went in there, you would be killed just for going in there. I go in there, I sit down, I have a beer with them, I'll smoke a cigarette with them, and before long, I'm telling them about the love of Jesus Christ. And I'm accepted there because I'm one of them. Even though my ideas aren't as carnal as theirs anymore, my ideas are to follow God. They accept me because they know I am one of those, one of them. And whatever God has done with me, He has done with me, but I am one of them. Once you're one of them, you're one of them. God has people in every place in this world doing His work. They might not appear to be your idea of a Christian. They might not physically look like your idea of a Sunday morning Christian. But Jesus Christ breaks all of the traditional rules to bring all that He can into the fold before the final day, final hour. The children of Israel came into the land. They didn't follow all of the directions given by God, Moses, Joshua, throwing all the people out. If you leave them here, they will be a cancer to you, and they will drag you down. You'll be cursed. If you get rid of them, you'll be blessed all of your generations to come. Well, they just flat out didn't do it. Decided they make servants of them. They elevate themselves to a higher status. Well, it only took 250, 300 years before they have gone to the point of Sodom and Gomorrah. We've just seen the atrocity last episode, what was done in the state of Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, and his land. The man of God went there with his concubine. The exact same scenario as in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, it's interesting. Lot was not, and it ties to that story so well. Lot was not one of the inhabitants of Sodom. He was an outsider that had gone there to live. Well, this man goes into the town, Gilead, I believe, and no one takes him in. And that's not the tradition. It's not what God said. It's a stranger, you take them in.
Especially a Levite.
Yes, absolutely. So a stranger that lives there, he takes them in. And then the sons of Belial, lots of slang in our language comes from this Bible. You know the term dumbass comes from this Bible? Mm-hmm. Well, your SOB was originally son of Belial, son of a worthless person, is what the Bible basically says, worthless, dark-hearted person. The sons of Belial came about the house to bring him out, that we may know them. We may have sex with them. It was a powerful darkness had come upon the nation of Israel because they left the gods of the folks who they were supposed to throw out. They left them in the country. They began to follow after them. They mingled with their children, took them for wives, took them for sons and daughters. And now, so they take the man's concubine. The guy won't send the man out. They take his concubine and they abuse her to the point where she makes it back to the house, but she dies. He cuts her in 12 pieces and he sends her to one piece to every tribe in the nation of Israel. And he, along with that, he sends a note. When has anything like this ever been done in the nation of Israel? And he's waiting for an answer. And we're right here now, chapter 20, book of Judges. We're going to get the answer. Then all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation was gathered together as one man from Dan even to Beersheba, with the land of Gilead unto the Lord in Mizpeth. The chief of all the people, even of all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen that drew sword. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel were gone up to Mizpeth. Then said the children of Israel, tell us, how was this wickedness? And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, answered and said, I came to Gilead. It belongeth to Benjamin, and my concubine to lodge. And the men of Gibeah rose against me and beset the house round about upon me by night, and thought to have slain me. And my concubine have they forced that she is dead. And I took my concubine and cut her in pieces and sent her throughout all the country of the inheritance of Israel. For they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel. It wasn't just Benjamin that had fallen. All of them were doing all of this same stuff. That act done in Benjamin was just one of the worst atrocities that was known. And it was known by a man who still tried to follow God, even though the Levitical line has lost its way, doesn't even know the law already. In a couple hundred years, just doesn't even know the law anymore. Probably 300 years at this point. Behold, ye are the children of Israel. Give her your advice and counsel. Give here your advice and counsel. People of Israel, as one man saying, we will not any of us go to his tent, neither will any of us turn into his house. But now this shall be the thing which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up by lot against it. We will take 10 men of 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, and 100 of 1,000, and 1,000 out of 10,000 to fetch victual for the people. They may do when they come to Gibeah of Benjamin according to all the folly that they have wrought in Israel. We're going to send a bunch of men out to get some food because we're here for the duration. We're going to take care of this. So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, knit together as one man. The tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribes of Benjamin, saying, what wickedness is this? It's done among you. And therefore deliver us to the men of the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and put away evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not hearken through the voice of their brethren. The children of Israel, yeah, we know what happened down there, but we're not giving these guys up. We like these guys.
Yeah,
they're cool to hang out with. We have some good parties. Yeah, whatever you want to do, do it, but yeah, we ain't giving them up. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities into Gibeah to go out to battle against the children of Israel. Analogy, Christian. If something's brought to your attention, sinfulness in your life, oh, well, that's none of my neighbor's business. No, God says it is. If he cares for you, if he loves his neighbor as himself, he'll bring it to your attention. Not to judge you, to try to nudge you in the right direction. Well, they went to the elders of Benjamin and said, this is what happened. These are the guys that did it. This is the sin among you. Let us remove it. It will make you healthier. They said, no.
No, we're good.
Yeah, we're good. It's all right. Children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities 26,000 men that drew sword beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. So, it's a big uneven odds there. What did they say they brought, Jonathan? 400,000?
400,000.
Yeah.
As one, knit together as one man.
Yeah.
Meaning they're surrounded and it's basically coming in. Anyway.
Among all this people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at an hair breadth and not miss. Wow.
You ever watch those videos of people doing that? The precise...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
It's absolutely amazing.
Spooky.
I can't even do that with a modern slingshot.
Right. Right.
You know?
Uh-huh.
So, left-handed. There again we see the left-handed. There's a couple other mentions of left-handed. It has some significance as to the seed of the serpent, I do believe. The Bible calls a king and back a few episodes ago, just makes the statement, and this was a left-handed man. Not berating any of you left-handed folks out there, but it's in here for a reason. You know, we all have the seed of the serpent in us now, thanks to the children of Israel, not putting them out of the land and mingling with them. You know, you ever wonder why these serial killers that absolutely have no feelings, absolutely no morality whatsoever, will kill an innocent person that they don't even know because they have more of the seed of the serpent in them than the seed of Adam. We all have a mixture. Some of us much more of one than the other. Some days I feel I'm about a 50-50 split. I'm hoping I'm not 51 on the serpent and 49 on God. Some days it feels like that. Other days, I feel it's the other direction. We all got it. Don't say you don't have it. You get thoughts in your head that you would never do. That's the seed rattling around in there. It's up to you to overcome it. And the men of Israel, besides Benjamin, were numbered 400,000 men that drew sword. All of these were men of war. And the children of Israel rose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. With all this going on, you know, the little story of Micah with his graven image and all this, and the Bible specifically said, and all of this was going on while the house of God was in Shiloh. Not that God left. Mm-hmm. They left God. You know? God will never leave you. But as I do on occasion, I run out ahead of him. Sometimes it feels like he's not there. All I got to do is look back. Lord, why are you so far behind? I'm not. I'm going at the pace I want you to go. But you have run out ahead of me. Come back now and have my presence surround you. The children of Israel rose up in the morning and encamped against Gibeah, and the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. The men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah. Civil war, brother against brother, God's chosen ones against God's chosen ones, because they have intermingled with the seed of the serpent, the folks that God said, put out of the land, put them all out, don't leave one. Now they have to deal with what's inside them spiritually. Children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. Wow, pretty good first showing for that little army. The people of the men of Israel encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. Children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord even until evening and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? The Lord said, go up against him. You know, whether or not you're on the side of God, there is often sins that must be paid for. You know, when the children of Israel first came in to Canaan in their first few battles, they didn't lose a single soldier because they were on the right with God. God's come in, I'll fight the battle for you. These folks here are a remnant of the children of God. Yeah, they still know God a little bit. They don't know the law anymore. They have the seed in them, and God is still trying to work with them, just like he did the Canaanites before he threw them out. He said, go to Egypt, sojourn there, and when I've done dealing with these people, they haven't transgressed enough. When they have transgressed past the line of no return, I'll throw them out and bring you in.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.